I want to share something with you along with the testimony part of this. I tell you quite often that I'm really hungry to hear and learn from the Lord no matter where I am or what I see. And I do watch sometimes Modern Marvels and History Channel is pretty cool. But I was watching Modern Marvels, and I shared this with Shirley just recently about safety concerns of the United States railroads and what certain railroads do to do things to make their railroads safer. This is so powerful, but I saw this recently on Modern Marvels, and to make locomotives safer. Do you know how the General Motors and Ford, Volvo, and all the rest of them, BMW and Mercedes, they will take a perfectly good vehicle and they will crash that thing and they will crash that thing and they will crash that thing and they will do so many tests. You say, gee, a lot of money. Yeah, it's a lot of money, but it's going to be a lot more money if they don't get it right. So, same thing with aircraft. The great big monster Airbus just recently that has been certified to fly now. All the tests that thing went through, of course, and the test pilots went up in it, and that big blimp got off the holds 500-something people. The new Airbus, A338 or something like. It's just tremendous, majestic plane. But anyhow, a lot of testing goes on before they give it the okay. But I never realized this so much. I mean, why would you want to test a locomotive so much? The thing is just millions of. I mean, so many tons of steel, and pulling cars behind it. What's the big deal? What's the safety concern? Well, this is really powerful what I got out of this, because they took two locomotives going at certain speed, certain momentum on a course for a head-on, just like this. It's unbelievable. And they have it all filmed and they're testing to see what happened. So the locomotives are coming down the track and I can't believe it. Here they come and these locomotives collide, and the most damage is going to be done by one or the other, by the one who has the most momentum. It's for whatever reason. So here they come down the track with all this momentum. But one of them had so much momentum, more than the other, and maybe not take much, but it hit the front. They have to hit the front because that's where the track is. And one of them went up over the other one like this. And of course, their concern is it killed the engineer and killed everybody up there in the front. So what they end up doing was, because of that and trying to make improvements, they put this big band in the front of both of them, this big steel piece that sticks out about that far along the front, where the nose of the other one coming down to meet the other one will not ride up on the other one, but will be deflected out. Now, you know, that's kind of cool. I mean, that they're thinking about safety for such monstrous machines. And it actually, then they did the test, and here they come. They got these bands in front of them, now big steel bands, to keep them from riding up on each other to deflect them out. Okay, so what's happening here? And so I'm getting all excited about something. I got all fired up. I don't know if you've been guilty of this or not, but I have. And I think most people, if you have a heartbeat and you're breathing and you're on this earth, you've probably been guilty of this. In conversations with people, two people are having a conversation. Sometimes, and quite often, the person with the most momentum and most power will sometimes, how can we say it, locomotive the other person, ride over them, crush them. And here we come with our conversations, because I'm going to go somewhere with this, and I think it's going to help us all here today. We're having a conversation, but the one with the most, maybe most vociferous or louder, will ride up over the other one and just have their opinion or their way. But I brought something here today to try to illustrate this. Try to illustrate this in some way where it'll make sense. person blue has something to say to person red. Person red has something to say in the conversation, and they're going back and forth. But sometimes, because of one person's exuberance or excitement, they're actually cutting the other person off a few words short, or maybe a few sentences short of what they really did want to say. And so this is what's serious about our conversations. Now, Shirley, I shared this with Shirley, and then Shirley was sharing with me some things. And I watched myself. I did a self-test. I came away from myself, and I was watching me, listening to her. That's kind of cool, because I don't want to keep on wrecking. I don't want to keep wrecking. I want to come out of this with something. So I'm watching myself, listening to Shirley. And many times within me, being attentive to this, I wanted to, and I saw points where I wanted to stop her and say something. But I said, no, no, no. You be quiet and listen to what she wants to say. And then when she's done, or when there's a comma, or a pause, or a semicolon, or something there that is logical for you to give also your input, then let's do it in a way that is sane. Let's do it in a way that you can have conversation. You know, argument is what it's called, but arguing is not really, don't take it the world's way. Arguing is going back and forth with dialogue in a positive way. Have you ever railroaded somebody and cut them off and said this to them? Was there something else you wanted to say? Was there something else that you wanted to say? And the person actually, let's say it was this person that you kind of shut down. Yeah, I had something else to say. But it was never said because they weren't given the opportunity. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm giving you a testimony of what I think happens so often between individuals. I can do it to my children. I can do it to my wife. I could do it to any one of you, but I've seen it kick in to where a person starts a conversation and you're not done yet. And I watched myself. I'm talking about me. I watched myself listening to Shirley, and I saw myself many opportunities to cut in, and I said, that's what I would have done, huh? It's like looking to the Lord. I was looking to the Lord in this experiment, and I said, "That's I would have cut her off right there. I would have said something there. I would have done something." And the Lord says, yeah, you would have. But now, this is what's important. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody understand what I'm saying? Freight training somebody else?
I do it all the time.
do we not do that?
Unfortunately.
Let me ask this then. Would there possibly be, through the discipline of listening, would there possibly be something gained by actually listening to what they really did want to say? Or else, it's not worth listening to what they were going to say or even wanted to say. It's not. You're not important. What I got to say is important. What you got to say is really not important right now.
Right.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Is that demeaning?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
See, we're going to go someplace else with this too.
It's pride.
Is that in pride kind of in there too? You see, I felt I had something to interject when Shirley was sharing with me. And you know what? She actually went on sharing for quite a little while. She says, I just thank you, honey, for listening to me. But she was also very open for me to volley back. Not volley back to kill, but to volley back to respond. To me personally, I have not ever been a person like that where I just purposely slowed down and stopped my locomotive, not to damage somebody else, but to let them say something that I may benefit from. I was interesting. It was an interesting thing that I was... This is an encounter.
Yes, amen.
Amen? We've been talking about encountering lately. I want to encounter Jesus. And when you go over there, Drew, I want you, man, just to have one encounter after another, man. You just riding with Jesus. You might get in a Humvee, but you're going to ride with Jesus. You know, one encounter after another. One encounter after another. But we're not going to have it unless we're really shut up and listen. I remember Brother Frank saying, somebody else coming, yak, 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 and he says, oh, shut up, type of thing, you know. There comes a time to shut up and listen. But I want you to know, I'm giving you a testimony, yet it's a preaching, but it's hopefully it's a teaching, but it's I think it's very important. To for you to hear what I got to say about what I went through. And I didn't find it particularly pleasant being quiet to listen to another person, but I wasn't necessarily pleasant because how long are they going to go on? Now there is a time when you know, hey, it's reasonable. You can clear your throat and you go, you know, whatever. That, you know, I have been patient, I have been listening, and it's been quite a little while right now, you know. But if, let me say this, if they are a Christian, particularly if they're a Christian, and you're a Christian, you both love the Lord, and you both want to have an encounter with Jesus, they're gonna be aware of that. You know, I've really had some things in my heart to say. I felt like I've said them now, and I feel you have been really patiently listening. Now, you could be looking and not hear a word. I mean, like I've said before, they can get through with this whole long scenario and say, is that right? You're going, duh, busted, you know. But you can be looking and letting them talk, but not really be hearing a word they say. So I'm talking about listening, shutting up, you know, not trying to get the momentum so powerfully to where you shut them down and you climb up on the cab and you kill somebody inside that cab and say, there, I have more momentum than you. You know, all you proved was what? You did some damage.
I just wanted to say, I had just come back from a walk with the Lord, and I was just like so full, and I had so many things I wanted to tell Him, you know, that the Lord had shown me and what happened on the walk. And this was unusual because He sat there and listened, and I just kept going and going. So He says, well, how long are they going to go on? But He allowed me to go on till I got to the end of what I needed to say. I was so full, I would have exploded if I didn't have someone to share it with. And that's why when I got done, it was just like I knew I was done, and I looked up and I said, thank you for listening, because it had to come out. God was just, we just had a wonderful time on that walk.
And what's wonderful, really, for me, I was listening. If someone else is important, and evidently they are, because Jesus, I don't know, we're going to get in all, such a compassionate God. He's very compassionate toward us, long-suffering. Mm-hmm. We're important enough to Him to die for, then should we not want life to be imparted in each and every one of us and to be an extension or an arm of the Lord or a heart of the Lord to listen to one another and look to Him at the same time to minister to one another life? That life may be imparted, that person would go and do the same thing to somebody else. You know, that you all would see that example in mom and dad, that they would see that example in you, that Laura would see that example in you. And so we learn the Spirit of God is very, very jealous for us to live the life of being filled with the Spirit and then living in the Spirit for others to see that. Believers or non-believers. And so, man, I got a lot out of that. All because of a Mickey Mouse Modern Marbles locomotive testing situation.
Wow.
I keep saying this, you can, whatever, bah humbug all you want, but I believe that if you're seeking God, God will have messages for us. He's going to have a lot of things going on, Drew, for you over in Afghanistan. But that's you, it's not me. But God's got a full plate for you, man. And God, you just be like a sponge and just soak it in. Soak it in, wring it out, soak it in, wring it out, soak it in, wring it out. And man, they're going to be saying, Drew, what is it with you? Well, it ain't me, it's Jesus, man. It's Jesus. And be able to have that message come out of your heart. You know, the abundance of your heart. So It is critical, I believe, that we look to the Lord in our daily life, and you will get out of really where your heart is seeking. You're going to get out of what you put into it. You're going to get out of your marriage, what you put into it. You're going to get out of education, what you put into it. You're going to get out of your car mileage, what you maintain with it. What you take care of it, it's going to give you some miles. You don't, it won't. You don't change the oil, just let it keep burning and burning and burning and burning. Or don't change the oil ever, like my brother's wife did in a Mercedes, just burned the whole thing up. I didn't know you're supposed to do that. You know, whatever. We are very high maintenance people. We are. We're broken. We're sick. We're offended. We get all kind of bad hair day stuff going on over nothing. I could say as a pastor today, you bunch of sick cowards, where are you? You going to let the rain keep you home? No, I don't feel that way. People are where they are. And we is where we is. You know, and we got to be before the Lord. We got to be seeking God where we are, because this won't be a group salvation situation. It's not a group, it's an individual. Grow where you're planted. Blossom where you are. I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch. Well, I cry my eyes all day long. Well, if that's where you are, that's where you are. And you're not going to Afghanistan that way. You're going with hope. Man, he's ready to go. Come on, hoo-ah, let's get going. You know, but I'm not going to live my life that way. I'm not going to cry myself to sleep all day. I'm going to look for opportunities. The glass is half full, not half empty. Amen. Is it making sense what we're saying? Well, to make a little more sense out of it, if you would, please turn with me to Genesis. We're going to make some little bit more sense out of this. Genesis 22. Big time change in what I was going to be doing here, so whatever. Genesis 22 melts my heart. We're not going to go into the whole thing about Abraham offering Isaac as a sacrifice, but we're going to make a point right here. Genesis chapter 22 is all about the situation where Abraham was asked by God to take his son and offer him up. I want to say this about what we've been saying about conversation. Don't do to the Lord what we do to each other, please. Don't do to the Lord what we do to each other. You hear that little shrill? Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah.
I don't know where it's...
With AC?
It's working. It's back there with the mic, I think. Sound or something, I'm not sure. I'll let our technician work on that. I hear a higher pitch. But let me make a little more sense out of this. Don't do to the Lord what we do to each other. Like you know what He's going to say. Now, Abraham didn't do this, but we're going to use this as an example. All right, now, in Genesis 22, verse 1, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham, and there won't be any of us live a life without being tested. Impossible. Just like we test products, God tests His people. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, what an answer. And he says, here I am. What are we going to do today? And he said, take now your son, and God knows exactly the son that he is, your only son, the only son from God, by the way, not through a maidservant, but through his wife, Abraham's wife, Sarah, we have Isaac. And he said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Yes, Lord. Yes, we'll go to Moriah. Take your son whom you love, and I want you to take him to the land of Moriah. They're down here, the Dead Sea. They are southwest down here in Beersheba. And we're going to go north, on the northern end of the Dead Sea, to the northwest side of the Dead Sea near Jerusalem. And we're going to go up there to Moriah. And can you, he didn't do this, but I'm just saying, can you put yourself here doing this to the Lord? Yes, Lord. I've been wanting to go to Moriah. I know the mountains up there are lovely. I've been wanting to have a little bonding time with Isaac. I'll go up there. It's going to take 3 days to get up there and 3 days to get back. We're going to have a good time. We're going to camp out a little bit, maybe see some folks we haven't seen for a while. And we're going to have a wonderful time, maybe do a little fishing in some of the streams up there. And, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you very much. Yes, we'll go to Moriah. See, you've already cut him off. You've already cut the Lord off from what he wants to say. He's got something very, 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 very important to say today. But he's got a lot to say, but we've cut him off. And all that he wants to say is been cut off. Abraham did not do that. I'm saying our nature and what we're saying here is don't do what we do to each other to the Lord. Because when God is speaking, we need to listen. So he could have, you could have, I could have done this to Shirley over a conversation or whatever and never really known what she really wanted to say. But so far you think it's pretty positive because you're thinking God wants you to take Isaac up to Moriah and just go on a bonding trip or something. He's not done, comma, he's not done. Wouldn't it be wise to kind of back off and listen to what he has to say? I do. Pretty powerful. And so what he has to say is, and we all know this, many times over we've heard this, and he said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, but, semicolon, I'm not finished. You see, we need to honor the Lord. We need to honor the Lord. What about prayer? What about intercessory prayer? Lord, is there something special you're saying here today? What are you doing? You know, what are you doing with piercing the darkness? And Drew, I believe with all our hearts, we are really wanting to hear from the Lord what he has to say about it, all that he has to say about it. And however soon or however often he wants to reveal it, it's his business. But we are getting some information by asking that way. And we're willing to listen to see what he has to say. And isn't the Lord revealing some things concerning clarification? He is. And we're writing it down. And we're talking about it. And so, here's the rest of the story. Wow. And I can see after he did all this, after I said all the things I said about going up there with Isaac, I could see standing here like this and going like this after I just said all that. And the Lord and I are in a conversation, supposed to be. And I go and I say this. There's something else you want to say? And the Lord says, yeah. But you cut me off. Can you see that? Can you see yourself in a conversation with a living God? Saying to him, after you mouth off all the stuff you want to mouth off, stopping and loving the Lord, really wanting to hear from him, and saying, because he's not saying anything. See, he's letting us talk. He's letting us yak. And you're going like this, and you're going, is there something else you want to say? Can you hear the Lord saying, yes. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Please forgive me. I know what I did. I've done it 1,000 times before. He says, yes, you've done it to people all your life. You've done it all the time. You've done it to people all your life. You've done it. But I don't want you to do it to me. You dishonor me. You don't treat me as holy. We're talking about having compassion for souls, a passion in our heart for the Word of God. And yet, I want you to have a passion for me. I want you to have such a compassion for me that it's important for you to hear what I have to say. And that's why we need to treat the Lord as holy. We really need to treat the Lord as holy. Do you think that God cares whether you take guitar lessons or not? Young man in Montana, starting to take guitar lessons. He is so excited about it. He's taken a year lesson at school, but he's also in and out of that cabin back and forth. He'd come out and sit with us, he'd go right back in. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, he'd get some tunes going. But because he wants to learn it. He has a passion for it. And if you have a passion for something, then you're going to learn that, whatever that discipline is. You got a passion for botany. You got a passion for chemistry. You're going to enjoy a whole lot more than kicking against the pricks when you're taking it as a required course in school. But if you're really interested in chemistry and what it may do for the rest of your life and how it relates and all, especially if you're going into the medical career or whatever, chemistry career or research career, you might want to have a passion for it to learn. So he's doing much more beyond what the teacher requires because he has a passion for it. He wants to learn it. If you want to hear God's voice, then you're going to have to get passionate about it. You're going to have a compassion about it. You're going to want to hang out where He's speaking. You're going to have to want to get this ear near Him so He can impinge upon that ear what He has to say to you. And there's going to be many voices out there to take it away from us. Many voices. There's a lot of voices in the world. And they're all out competing for our loyalty. They want your attention. The world wants your attention. And who's behind all that? Satan. Satan wants your undivided attention. So does God. So there's no fence to put, erect your little shack on. There's no fence to build your little house on. There's no fence to live. There's no place to abide. That's misery. Blue despair or gloom despair and misery on me. You cannot live on the fence. You cannot live on the border between the ancient boundary and the world. You're going to have to get in or get out. Get on that carpet. Just like our kids did for all of our kids. We had a blanket up here and they were told to stay on the blanket. And guess what? They stayed on the blanket although they wanted to venture out once in a while. They stayed on the blanket. It was no problem. One of our dear friends here who passed away many years ago, Casey Kurosawa, he would give them raisinettes once in a while. He'd throw a raisinette down to them and just laugh and grin. But they stayed in the border where they were told. Isn't it not important to the Lord that we let Him finish saying what He wants to say? Do you believe the church has been guilty of not allowing the Lord to finish His sentence? You know why? Sometimes the church does not want the Lord to finish the sentence because they don't really want to go there. They don't want to go there. And sometimes the churches give in because hammer. They just keep hammering, and for 20 years now we've been hammered with this, so we're just going to give up and change our rules and allow an ordination of a person who is of a sexual persuasion, of the gay persuasion, this priest. They kicked him out 20 years ago, but now we're going to come back and we're going to change our laws to allow it. The Presbyterian mainline, one of the mainline denominations in our church world today, Presbyterian Church, is going to ordain or reordain this pastor who was let go 20 years ago. Because he came out and they let him go. But now they're sorry, apologetic, they're changing their rules, and they're going to allow it. See, the reason I believe people don't want to get real close to God's voice is because they don't want to hear what He has to say. Because you've got to change. And that, what kind of a God is that? What kind of loving God is that? Do you today want to hear what God really wants to say, or are you kind of railroading him and cutting him off and not allowing him to say what he wants to say? And as we do this, we, including myself, to people that I know, and I'm going to stop doing that. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what I did the other day at our kitchen table. I'm going to practice listening more than so much interjecting what I think should be brought to the table. If it's important, I'll be able to say what I need to say. I have listened to people in conversations, and I have just like a laboratory. I can see the decibels rising. I can see, you know, like two dogs. They're kind of two dogs facing each other, Ted. But one dog, after a while, his ears go back. His tail tuckers under. And the vociferousness of it all and the locomotiveness of it all shuts down the other one. And they have something to say, but they couldn't say it. Wow. Don't do that to the Lord. And it says, and as I say, as I look to the Lord, I say, is there something else you want to say? And the Lord says, yes. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you later. Oh, wow. That's what you wanted to say. And what did Abraham do? Okay. But you don't know his heart. You don't know what he went through. But in obedience, he said, yes, I'll do it. I'll get the wood. Can you imagine him chopping that wood for the sacrifice? Every chop. I was chopping wood in Montana for the fire. But I wasn't thinking of him at that time. Every splinter of wood that he chopped, it was going to be for a burnt offering. Not just a burnt offering, it was going to be for a whole burnt offering. A whole burnt offering means that the whole thing is consumed to the Lord, given to the Lord. I want you to understand that this is going to be a burnt offering unto me, your son. I want you to give him completely and totally. A whole burnt offering, consumed, nothing but ashes left. That's what God was after. Nothing held back. He had his attention, he had his will, and he was willing to do it. But what is so amazing about this whole thing is he went with his servants and he told them to stay there for a while, and while he and Isaac went up. And what is so profound about this whole thing is Abraham says, stay here, we'll be back. So the emphasis here is not upon this whole relating the story. The emphasis here is listening to what God was directing. And be willing to do it. Receive it. And as a result of this, what? Is it bad what God did? What did God do? Because you obeyed, he's getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. He is so dead serious with everything that God said, but it's by faith. It's mind-boggling. It's by faith. Say, okay, God, you said you're going to take... I believe. And I also told them back there that we'll be back. But here I am getting ready to do what you told me to do, but I'll be back. You can't go there, can you, logically? And he was going to, and there was a ram in the bush, as we know. And because of that faith, that act of faith, his descendants would be as innumerable as the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky, which you see today. And we are a part of that great family that this man had, faith in God. We are part of that great family, grafted in to Israel, grafted in as Gentiles into that vine. Wow. I want to listen to everything that God has to say. And how often have I missed out because I haven't? How often have we missed out because we haven't listened to the rest of the story? Or it might have been just maybe five or six more words. It might have been five or six more paragraphs. It might have been another two sentences. But I can see people sometimes in conversations, I can see them and the individual is speaking to one individual and they're still speaking. They're still speaking. And all of a sudden, we have interjection. And sometimes I want to be like a traffic cop and say, wait, just it's okay, you can talk, but they're not done. Is anybody feeling what I'm saying here today? Don't do that to the Lord. And try not to do it to each other. God has something for us. And I believe what I'm saying here today has a lot to do with us getting clarification of PDM, the ministry here, what God is doing, what God is going to do. We're going to have to... You know, last year our theme was, be determined to hear the voice of God. I believe that was last year's theme. Be determined to hear the voice of God. And yet I never spoke like I'm speaking right now about hearing God's voice last year because I didn't get it last year. What I'm getting right now to give you what I got in my heart. But sometimes the simplest things are right there, but we can't see them. Isn't that true? And when somebody reveals it or somebody says something about it, you say, yeah, I kind of felt that too. I have that conviction. But what you're saying now kind of clarifies it for me. I believe, Ted, with all my heart, that as we are determined to treat God as holy and have a passion to hear His voice, that He will honor that. God will see that. That we want to hear His voice. But in order to hear the voice of God, you've got to ask, seek, and knock. In a way of contrition and humility and dealing with that old pride that wants to raise itself up all the time. Lisa, you said it just a little bit ago, pride. Pride is a killer. So today, I pray that we will take to heart this message of compassion for souls. But in order to have a compassion for soul, you got to have a compassion for the living God through Christ Jesus. You're going to have to want a relationship with Him that is so tight and so Enochy, or whatever. Let me explain that. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. There's a report that he was pleasing to the Lord. That's what I mean by having an Enoch attitude. We're going to have an attitude like Enoch, who walked with God. He was pleasing to the Lord. So pleasing, God took him for God's purpose. We believe he's coming back one day in the future. Elijah and Enoch, and they will even possibly be martyred and their bodies will be lying in the streets. But God is keeping them right now. People that walk with God. I believe that in my heart, it's a new day for receiving fresh from the Lord the compassion that He would have us to have for Him and for our fellow man and for our siblings, our loved ones, our wife, our husband, whatever. It's a new day to have our ears circumcised and our hearts circumcised and our brain circumcised. In other words, cut away the dullness of hearing. Cut away the hardness of the heart. Cut away even our eyes to have the glaucoma removed. It's quite a pleasant thing, isn't it, to have a cataract removed, Helen? I haven't had it done, but you have. And I understand there's great freedoms and great liberty and praising the Lord for being able to see again. So to circumcise our eyes, to have the flesh cut away, is a powerful thing. And so in our take it homes here today, there's no doubt that anyone who has sincerely received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has also been aware of His mercy, compassion, and grace shed upon them. I think it's impossible as a Christian not to know that for yourself. That God has been that way toward you, you're to be that way toward others. When Jesus looked upon the multitude, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus also said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." God wants to send out workers into the harvest that are compassionately wanting to hear His dispatches, His directions. Do I make the phone call after a dream? Or do I go here today? No dream. God, just, do you want me to go here today? Do you want me to make that phone call? Somebody calls me. There's no revelation or anything. They call me. They're seeking help. God, give me that direction right now. Just give me those words to say. And so Jesus felt compassion when he looked at the multitude. We got people all around us, folks. And wherever you go, I'll never go. I may not ever be in Afghanistan. But Drew's going. He's been there before. But that's my dear brother there, man. Boots on the ground there. I'm gonna be my boots on the ground wherever God has them here, and you all where you are. But let us all be praying for each other. For God to dispatch where we're to go, where we're not to go. What to say or what not to say. When Paul solemnly charged Timothy, this is based upon 2 Timothy 4:2, the word logos, that means written or spoken, he intended for him to be obsessed with the message and to have a burning compassion for souls. It's an obsession. You know, God wants us to get it straight with him, his directions, and also have that same passion, godly compassion for souls. And we can't do that if we're not listening to what God is saying. We can't go out on our own. Who wants to? What's the objective? What are you going to achieve striking out on your own? Before I came to this church, we didn't have one bus. I came to this church and they asked me to get some things turned around. You know how many buses we got now, folks? We got 5 buses, 40 student buses, and we got 2 short buses. And we got another one ordered on the way. I have increased attendance from X amount to X amount. Hey, everybody just stand up, man. Just start. But that's the only award he will get. And God's not impressed with that. Unless God's in that. God wants us to buy a bus and go down the inner city. Yeah, that's directed by God. That's good. But we can't do this on our own. David declared, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue." Why don't we wait for God to get that heart burning before we speak? Sometimes we have our own burning heart and we speak. But we need to hear from God. You know, I don't mean to have goosebumps and something physically burning our heart, but I'm just talking about burning for the glory of God. And then out of that relationship is going to come, the mouth's going to speak what's in the heart. That's all. It says all true saints of Jesus Christ need to be asking God for the fire of compassion to burn intently within their hearts. Will you commit to stand before God and ask Him for such compassion? It is a commitment, isn't it? And then everybody, I think I'm preaching to the choir, but the choir also needs to be encouraged. I think we're all committed to the Lord. I don't know if anybody here is not, but you can't be committed too much. We're all in class. And you're going to be there until He comes back. All of us. We're all to be servants one to another. And continue that attitude with a passion, with a determination. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, shut up. He's busy. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou Son of David. He wasn't going to shut up for anything, Bartimaeus. But man, he got a hold of Jesus. Jesus said, "Hey man, bring that man to me." You see. Do you think that we all have some things to learn here in order to hear from God, in order to have clarity, to really be doing what He wants us to do here on this website and Piercing the Darkness clarification, or things that we write and things that we have to do and say? I think we have a lot to learn. What do you think, though? Do you think we're learning? Do you think we're getting somewhere? Do you think we're hearing from God? What do you think? You got a stirring in your heart? What's going on? Teddy bear?
As you know, we've been very blessed with, first of all, being part of this church body. And above that, I've been so blessed that my wife, many years ago, said to me that she was afraid that if she was to die or I was to die, that she would never see me again in heaven. That was a blessing. That opened my eyes. And we have such a blessing here in our little church that our leadership and the folks that are here have that burning compassion for souls. And I think, and I know that the Lord is moving in incredible ways, that that's going to reach out even further. I believe that Drew's trip to Afghanistan was predestined, preordained, that his trip is going to touch a lot of people, and he will be our outreach, our piercing the darkness outreach on the other side of the world. I believe that Carolyn's ministry, through her website with Shirley, is going to also be worldwide. It's going to cover anybody. They have access. Access is now available. What we need to do, and what the Lord is showing me to do, is to let people know that there's access there. Lead them to where the access is. Not normally, I'm not looking to lead thousands of people into this church. I'm willing to lead thousands of people to the access of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have a calling. I know the Lord has given me this fire. He's given me this passion. And I am so blessed in this complete, concrete, galvanized sign that he gave me has been received. And I am so blessed that I have mentors, as yourself, as one of my mentors, Shirley, my wife, and Linda, to lead me in the right directions and to help me, inform me in what needs to be done. I am blessed beyond all I can say. All I can say is thank you, Jesus Christ, for bringing us here and putting us all together. And thank you, Jesus, for what you have planned for all of us here in the ministry. Mm-hmm. This small body is reaching worldwide, has the access. Not only that, but our spirits inside, from the littlest one who's posted on our website now with her art that she drew of the sword, is now seen worldwide.
Thank you, Lord.
That was spirit-led.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe everything that comes from now, to the wisdom of a little child, the wisdom of God showing through a little child, to you, Pastor Mark, as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and the Lord and our hearts open to Him, we're going to fill that void. Mm-hmm. May not fill this church, but we're going to fill the void of what He wants us to do. Mm-hmm. I thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, this church body, for being here for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ted. You know, it's a testimony. I think I really appreciate that very much. It's just that here as a pastor, I'm sharing some things, and I'm just wanting, you know, briefly to encourage us all to understand the importance of the Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You see, I believe we can receive the manifestation of God's will here as it is in heaven. If we are determined to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and not push Him out. He is everything. He is the center. He is everything that we exist and stand for. He is our life. And without Him, you pull the umbilical cord and you are drifting, drifting, drifting into nothingness. And so may God direct and show us the details that He has for us as we look to Him. But I want to tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I want to say to you, I know Him who does, and that's what pleases the Lord. People may come to you and they may be disappointed at times. Lisa, you may get calls from people and they may say, well, you know, thanks a lot, it wasn't what I wanted to hear. Well, that's good. They don't need to hear what maybe they think they want to need to hear. They need to hear what God has to hear, what God has to say to them. And so I believe that the Lord is going to do something out of this effort to hear Him and to go forth at His direction, not ours. And definitely don't go by what you see. Praise the Lord. Do you have a stirring in your heart? You feel God's doing something, and God, I mean, we're getting on down the road here now with time frames. What I believe the Lord's going to be doing, what I see the world, where the world is right now, right the other day in the paper just recently, there was an article about Basically, there's nobody coming forth. There's no nation coming forth and saying, look, we've got the answers. It was basically that in a nutshell in the article. Basically, nobody's coming forth. But one day, man, there's going to be a powerful, powerful deception of a world leader come forth and say, I have the answers. And they're going to follow him. They're going to follow him. They're going to follow the Pied Piper in the wrong way. Praise the Lord. So now is the day. That's what this is all about. We need to be seeking God. We need to know what He's saying, that we are not deceived ourselves. If possible, the Bible says, even the elect will be deceived. If possible. Praise the Lord. If there's anyone out there that is hearing this message today, anywhere on this earth, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to get serious with the Lord and ask Him to be Lord of your life, to allow your blind eyes to see and to open up your deaf ears to hear, and for you to rend your heart and not your garments, to open your heart up to Him so that the sunrise from on high can come in. Isaiah 61 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You need to have the glory of God to rise upon you through Christ Jesus, His Son, who gave His life for you, who shed His blood for you. And there was no other religion, there was no other person in this world, ever has been, ever else, ever shall be, that is the sacrificial lamb of the Son of God that gave His life for you. All you have to do is open your mouth and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for the sin in my life, for the way I've lived. I don't understand it all, but I do know that You are the way, the truth, and the life, and I want You to be Lord of my life for a change. I am no longer wanting to be in control. I give it up to You. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And for God so loved the world. You've seen this before. You've seen it at ball games. You see John 3:16 everywhere. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in Him should not perish, and there will be a perishing, but have everlasting life. If you want to live, then you come to Jesus. You want to die, you don't. It's just that simple. Get busy living or get busy dying. Thank you for listening today. And I pray that some of the things that were mentioned today and the examples of getting very close to God to hear what He has to say will become important to you, because those are the directives that lead to eternal life. What God has to say, God's Word in your heart through Christ Jesus. We give You thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.